The book could just be called Users. The book could be called Internet Community or Identity Online. It could be called a lot of things. Well, first of all, I think lurking is a pretty good title. But like the real reason is I'm lurking as a writer. I'm lurking on these experiences. I'm witnessing a number of things and not necessarily participating myself. I wouldn't say lurking if I meant stalking. I wouldn't say lurking if I meant surveilling. I talk about lurking as in just being a witness of an activity, maybe not jumping in yet. If it's a community that I would want to take part in, but I want to read the room first and then participate. And the thing about lurking is there is no invisible cloak in the real world that we can just remove and then take part in an experience. But the other part is the possibility of being completely traceless on the internet is impossible because the internet is tracking. The internet is surveillance technology. That's just the nature of it. My name is Joanne McNeil, and I'm a writer, and I'm the author of Lurking: How a Person Became a User. The book is about 30 years of online communities and online identities. It's a lot of my own experiences over the years on the internet, but I speak with a number of other people about their experiences. I look at a number of communities that I wasn't maybe as much of a part of, but spoke to people who were involved in them. And it really is a look at what it used to be like, what changed, what is good about the internet, what's not so great, what we can recover, what has never been there, and all leading up to an idea of like what would be an ideal internet experience. I always have to be careful when I get into talking about the 90s because sometimes I feel like I glamorize it. But back then, first of all, the hardware, the actual tools that you had, you're sitting at a desk probably with a big computer in front of you. You can't take it with you. There are certain times in the day that you would be online. Something I find really interesting is when I dig into old Usenet posts and see that kind of sleepy style of writing that people would communicate in with these really long, long letters that have this kind of dreamy quality, and you realize they're probably just 30 minutes from going to sleep or something like that. So there is something legitimately magical about being able to just set this thing up and connect to people and also lose elements of identity or have some choice about what elements of identity you put forth. And I think that it's important to point out that there was nothing necessary about needing to be on the internet as there is today. It's not like you will be left out of certain communications if you didn't have a Facebook profile or something like that. It was more of a voluntary and imaginative experience. And there were certainly elements of harassment. There were certainly corporations that wanted to have a very gigantic piece of the internet, but it wasn't at the extreme that it is today. There was the dot-com crash, and then a point later that's just as crucial is the Great Recession in 2008, because that's about the time that the iPhone debuts. People are moving to smartphones. And that period of the late aughts to about 2013, that period is when a lot of investment started moving to Silicon Valley. And meanwhile, there was not a lot of writing about these companies. There was not a lot of journalism that scrutinized this explosion of VC investments and startups. That was incredibly limited. And so you have this kind of enormous growth of these companies, growth that is at the expense of users because they're developing targeted ads. You know, they're getting more and more data on their users and doing so without a lot of scrutiny. And then right around 2013, that's when the Snowden leaks came forth. And that was one of the first major news stories critical of technology, because before then, the stories about technology in the media would be, you know, is the internet making us lonely or something like that? It would be about the users. It would be about, oh, look at all of these amateurs on YouTube. They're not making fine art. And that would be kind of the media reaction. But then all of a sudden, the Snowden disclosures and the elements of privacy and surveillance, that led to the development of a tech beat. People started looking a little bit more critically at companies like Uber and Airbnb. At a time that there should have been regulation, there should have been media scrutiny, that was not there. And it's not the same as saying people were not criticizing it, because people absolutely were. They just couldn't find a platform. They couldn't find a way to broadcast their concerns. I wanted to make clear that it is possible that we could have ideal internet experiences. Even if I don't have all of the answers, at least I wanted to point to spaces that you can have an experience as an individual, as a community, that are porous and open, but also have rules and have elements of safety. The library in particular, with its elements of care for information, I feel a little bit stronger as this is an ideal for the internet, because we are, whether we like it or not, we're leaving traces of our identities in these platforms when we communicate through them, and how that information should be maintained or whether it should be deleted. I'm not sure what the answer is. I think individuals are making these decisions themselves, but in the space of a community, that's something that needs to be discussed. It was more for me to give the reader examples of what we already have in our society and what would the internet be like if this is what we were modeling it after, instead of, say, cable TV or instead of, say, various corporations. If we were looking to build a better internet, things like social media should be decentralized, because that means you have people involved in the process who have something at stake, who are not just founders and developers, but are also users of the platforms that they maintain. And having decentralized online spaces means that people can collectively make decisions about what material they want to see, what they don't want to see, what material should be archived, how it should be archived. I don't really get deep into the topic of the content moderators, specifically content moderators on Facebook and Google or YouTube. Their labor is removing despicable content. The idea that that should be a job for anybody is objectionable. But if we had decentralized platforms where everybody is kind of involved, the conversations are at the level of the user, as opposed to from these hierarchies where you have, it's basically Mark Zuckerberg's call for 2 billion people. That to me seems like just one element, and then another element being just decommercial spaces. What's been sort of delightful about having the book come out is a lot of it now feels really obvious. And if this book had come out several years ago, there would still be some kind of knee-jerk reaction to it being the internet at all, and the sense of a defense of being an internet user, because so many people kind of did not want to occupy the idea of being an internet user. Even if they had to do everything online, there was still that weird stigma around it, as opposed to, okay, well, if you're sending email, if you're participating on social media, you're a user. I felt that so much writing so many books about the internet were composed by academics, and that's great. But the general cultural writing about the internet, that was missing. And it was also very personal to me, because the internet is how I became a writer. I had a blog. I wrote for online publications for many, many years. even before blogs, I was really active on chat rooms and forums, and that's a little bit more in the realm of communication. But I wanted to just lean into that writing style and own that as my style, as my craft. The element of being really present and entertaining and not shy away from it, that to me was always something in my mind. If I could write a book that's really ambitious about its scope, but also write it in the voice of a user, that was always what I intended to do.
Joanne McNeil's book, Lurking, How a Person Became a User, is out now from MCD. Go to thinkbelt.org/interstitial for further reading and more episodes, or listen to Interstitial wherever you get podcasts. Subscribe and share. Sound design is by Sam Clapp. I'm David Huber. More next week.